We are talking on grace. We've got a kind of using this new format here with the Sunday school going on downstairs with the young kids and then the young adults up here, right? The young adults up here. Amen. So we've been talking about grace, and this will be grace number 4. Let's pull up the definition. The Hebrew lexicon, the definition of grace is favor, charm, favor, grace, elegance, favor, and acceptance. And we'll get to that a little bit more when we look at grace in the definition. Because look, this word favor is also a part of favorite. All right, so now God doesn't show favoritism, but he does show favor. All right, he shows favor to people that, especially like the Old Testament, he said, if you'll live my law, then this is what I'll do for you. If you, you know, blessings, I'll bless you. Cursings, I'll curse you, and all these different things. But we know that, and we'll read it in just in a minute, that grace, only God could develop grace. Man can't develop grace. Because we do have our favoritism. Remember? It's all in who you know. Remember? Well, it is all in who you know. If you know Jesus Christ, you get his grace. If you don't, you get his judgment. So let's go to the next one. This has come out of the dictionary, which we know that Brother Branham told us that grace was unmerited favor. But I want you to look at this. This is unmerited divine assistance. Now, there's only one divine, and that's the Lord Jesus. None of us are divine. Through him, we are divine. But this is telling us, though, that, look, a virtue coming from God, unmerited divine assistance given to humans. God doesn't need grace. He is grace. We need grace for their regeneration or sanctification. So in other words, you need grace. By grace are we saved through faith. All right? But we also need grace for every day. And I'm going to read you a scripture here in a few minutes in Romans. The Bible tells us, listen, grace is not for what you're going to do. That's Catholicism. You go and say 4 Hail Marys, and that's why the mob, the mafia, love to be Catholics, because they go in and say, look, I'm going to kill 4 people tomorrow. Give me some grace. And then, you know, 4 Hail Marys and pay $10,000, and whatever you do tomorrow, you're absolved from it. But we know that's not God. God gives grace for what is in the past. You can't get grace for something. Listen, if you want to try to get grace for something you're going to do tomorrow and you know it's wrong, that's iniquity. That's not good. And that takes you completely out from under grace. Right. All right. If you know you're going to do it tomorrow and you just put it in your mind you're going to do it and say, well, God, forgive me, I'm going to do it. Now, there's no forgiveness for that. There's not. Until you do it, and then you're in falling into iniquity, and that's the whole part. Look at people today. How many people do you know in this world that has any grace? Only the bride of Jesus Christ. Only the people that have the new birth are graceful people, are people that have grace. In the world, there's no grace. It's all judgment. You do this, you don't do that. And we'll read that in just a minute. So, but it's a virtue coming from God. It's not coming from man, so it's a virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine. Look at how many times it says divine. Because it is not humanly possible to give grace, because you say, I never will hold a grudge. Well, You just think about it yourself about when you talk about holding a grudge against somebody, okay? You have your favorites. And God does too. God has his favorites, but it's because of the word of God. It's because we're called bride. And we get the new birth. Everything else is not under grace. Because listen, when the two witnesses go to Israel, there will be no grace given to the world because she's already spurned her day of grace under the Gentile prophet, Brother Branham. Then he cuts off the Gentiles. There's no more grace for them. There's nobody going to get grace except for the Jews when God takes the message. So what are you saying, Brother Wade? Every message is tied to grace, because you take a prophet. When a prophet comes on the land, he does two things. I know he does 3, but let's just look at these 2. He brings what? Grace to some and judgment to others. Remember, he comes down, he speaks his message. It's judgment to the ones that don't take it, and it's grace to the ones that do. So that's exactly what the two witnesses are going to do. They're going to go over there to Israel, or they're going to be there in Israel, and they're going to preach grace to, and 144,000 is going to accept it. They're going to continue to preach that grace for 1260 days. We'll cover it this afternoon in the sermon. And only 144,000 people are going to accept it. The whole world is not going to accept it. There is no grace for the Gentile dispensation after the bride leaves. So guess where grace is today? It's in the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, grace means approval. So we're going to put that word approval in. Here we read Genesis 6 verse 8. But Noah found approval or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace or approval in the eyes of the Lord. Why didn't Noah pick John Jones or Jim, somebody else? Noah was the one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God gave him grace to what? Preach a message for 120 years of grace. You say, no, it was judgment. It was grace. They chose judgment. The grace was, I'll build you an ark and I'll get you in here. But if you look at the mind of God, he only built it big enough for 8 people and some animals. He knew who was going to accept it and who wasn't. He knew the whole world was not going to accept it. Right? So being graceful, though, he gave them an opportunity to be saved. So let's go now. Let's skip Exodus. We read that about Moses. Because Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's go over to the book of Ruth and let's look at this. Where Ruth, now here's Ruth and Boaz, which is a type of what? It's church, the bride, and I say the church, but the bride and Christ, right? All right, so look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, watch. It hath fully been showed me. He already knew who she was. He had found out who she was, and he gave grace. Look, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. In other words, he looked back at her history, and he saw, and now let's go to the book of Esther, and let's make that a little bit more. Here's another woman in the Bible named Esther, Esther 2 verse 16. Now remember, you can only come into the king when the king called you, right? And it didn't matter if he didn't call you for a year. You couldn't go in to see that king unless he called for you. Amen? And now Esther is realizing and seeing that something's fixing to happen to her people. She hasn't been called by the king, but she just doesn't know that the king is so desiring to see her that he's just as happy as he can be. He puts a crown on her head when he... Instead of dying, instead of having her head chopped off, he puts a crown on her head. Same way with me and you. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. So there was a history. You say, what are you saying, Brother Wade? There's a history. God is graceful to those that need grace. He's graceful to the ones that have a... Look at David. David needed grace or he would have been killed. But it was in grace through the prophet that came, Nathan. So watch this here. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace. Now I wrote myself a note. It was her life that she had with the king before this time. It's what found favor. Everybody got that? It wasn't just, oh, it's Esther. I don't know who she is. No, look. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. Now the time before that, she hasn't seen him in 30 days. Now she's the queen, but he's so busy and got other, he's got 100 concubines and he's got all these different ones. But Esther is his queen. He hadn't seen her for 30 days. He was so happy to see her because of what? He knew who she was. So he extended grace because of who she was. Not what she was going to become. God extends grace to me and you for looking at our life. Brother Branham just said it. He said, I'd rather you live me a life than preach me a sermon. God's going to find grace in your life, not so much what you preach or what you talk out of your mouth. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now we know that. Because of what Vashti did. Vashti had grace at one time because she was the queen. So the denominations or the world out there, they had some grace with God during the different times of the church ages, but there was a time when Vashti said, I'm not going to take what God said anymore. I'm going to have my own idea and my own party. We've been through the book of Esther several times. But Esther found grace and favor in his sight because of what he remembered of what she was. All right? So what Brother Brown tells us, he said, we need to what? Remind God. What are you doing? You're reminding God. He don't need to be reminded, but he wants you to tell him. He wants you to tell him. Now, he don't want you to be to where Esther didn't walk in and say, now, bless God, I'm better than any one of these people in here. I'll prove it to you. No, she walked in humble. She didn't put on the clothes that were so extravagant. She just put on a regular, normal dress and did her hair herself and walked into the king, and the king found grace toward Esther because at the point when she goes in, she's supposed to be killed if he hadn't called her, which is in another scripture besides this one, but she obtained grace. I want to ask you a question. Have you obtained grace? That's our question today. Have you obtained grace? No, I'm just grace. And my, no, yet sometimes that's greasy grace. I can do what I want to, but have you obtained grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because look, let's go to Psalms 84:11. We're going to stay with the Bible. Maybe next Sunday we'll read some quotes, but I like to just leave it in the Bible because this is Sunday school class, so we're going to take it in the Bible. If you can't prove anything in the Bible, then you ought not be doing this anyway. Right. Amen? Right. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right, let's go to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. See, there they found favor. Now watch this right here in Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. Now we know that Zerubbabel is a type you've got the one coming in, you've got the prophet of God, preaching the message, building the pyramid, building the statue of perfect man. But listen to what he says. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who out there, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Now who's the headstone? Christ. Christ is the headstone. All right, and you and I must become that too. But look, therefore, with shoutings, crying, it's going to take double grace to get us into the capstone, to get us to the headstone. You say, double grace, Brother Wade. You're going to need grace for your soul every day that you sin. You don't sin in your soul, but you sin in your spirit. You need grace for that, and then you need grace for this thing. So that's talking about the body change. Grace. Grace unto it. What? That great mountain are you. We always point back at this statue of perfect man, but that's you. I love the one where they got, you know, the Lord Jesus picture in there, you know, imposed behind it, but you need to put your place in there. Right. You put your face and your body in there because that's the statue of perfect man has already been proven by God through Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's already been proven by William Branham.
Right. Right.
Now who's it got to be proven by?
Right.
The bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because the headstone is going to come forth shouting, crying, double grace, or grace unto it. Now watch in Zechariah 12:10, this is what we were talking about a few minutes ago. And I will pour out the house of David upon the inhabitants. Now this is talking about the two witnesses going to Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that this afternoon in the eternal redemption because we got to get the Jews redeemed. They're part of it. They're just not part of it right now. And I will pour upon the house of David, and who is that? Jews. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Kind of funny that you take the Daniel 70 weeks and it's what? It's to thy people and thy city. Thy people, David, thy city, Jerusalem. Alright? The spirit of what? Grace and of supplication, or spirit of what? Acceptance. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Listen. Let's look at this just for a second. When those two witnesses go to the Jews and they begin to preach the message of grace, that Jesus Christ has already come, that Jesus Christ has already, I say, got a Gentile bride born again and got them out of the way, they're going to look at that and they're going to do what the Bible says. They're going to cry and mourn and say, just like what? Just like, remember Reuben and all the different ones when Joseph was standing there and he revealed himself to them, they said, we're dead. We're in trouble. We supposedly killed that man. We killed our own brother. But now what did Joseph say? He said, don't worry, this was not done for, like, in other words, frivolously, this was not done. It was done, what? To preserve life. Because had Joseph not come and got the vision of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, the whole world would have almost been wiped out because of the famine. All right? But he gave grace to Joseph, Joseph being a type of Christ. Now what they're going to do is they're going to see that through the preaching of the gospel. See, you can only see grace through the preaching of the gospel. Amen?
Right.
There is no grace. Listen, we see that the law, we'll look at it in just a minute, the law was given for transgression. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We'll read it in just a minute. So those two prophets are not going to bring an Old Testament gospel. Now they're going to be Old Testament prophets per se. Everybody got that? Elijah and Moses. But now remember, the mentality of Israel at this moment, of the Jews at this moment, is what? He's not coming to the Gentiles. He's coming to us.
Right?
Right? The Messiah's coming to us. He's not coming to them. And they, you know, we're just going to maybe come in later on and we're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for Elijah. And we're looking for this because their eyes were blinded. And actually their eyes were blinded. The Jews' eyes were blinded for grace for me and you. Because remember, we have no promise. We just have a promise of a little here and a little there and a little Rahab coming in and a little Esther and a little different ones coming in that are not Jews by lineage. But see, they missed it because God blinded their eyes, literally blinded their eyes so that you and I could come in. Well, that was grace to us and it was grace to them because remember, He'd already put them away. And God's not going to be without a wife. He's going to have a bride. That's His, listen. What did He tell man? What did He tell? He said, marry. Husband and wife. Created He them. Everybody got that? That God is going to have a bride. But once He divorced Israel, He had to marry somebody, so He chose a Gentile bride to marry, put the Jews away, but by grace, He couldn't forget them, so He had to send them grace by two prophets. He had to send them grace after you and I leave. So the grace of God is not just to the bride. Because remember, we're going to talk about it later on that even the grace of God goes all the way to the white throne judgment.
Right. Yeah.
Because somebody's going to get eternal life because of grace.
Right.
Because of unmerited favor that somebody changed your tire or was good to you or gave you a cup of water in the name. And even the foolish virgin is going to have grace at the white throne judgment. They're going to make it.
Amen?
Amen? But they're just not bride, but they're going to make it. Alright, everybody with me? It's 10:07, so we're getting pretty close. So now, let's go to John 1 verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now let's continue reading. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness have all we received, look, and grace for grace. See, John the Baptist come in under the law, though. He was under the law. He was an Old Testament prophet. He was under the law, but he was seeing that there was a Messiah that was going to come. So he had to introduce Him under grace, not judgment.
Right.
But now who took the judgment? The religious people of the day turned Him down. They turned John's message down. They killed John. And they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. So see, it wasn't grace. There was your prophet standing there with two things to do. He gave grace to a group of people that accepted it. And He gave judgment to a group of people that did not accept it.
Right.
Amen? So now look, for the law was given by Moses. Now what was the law? Do's and don'ts. Written letter. You pick up sticks on Sunday, you die. Or Saturday, I'm sorry. Saturday. You die on the Sabbath, right? You commit adultery, you both get stoned. You do this, you're going to get... There was no grace, but now remember, you watch, though, as we back up from what we were talking about, you say, well, there, by the way, there was no grace in the Old Testament. Yeah, it was full of grace.
Right.
Look at Moses. He killed an Egyptian. He was a murderer. Yet God used him to lead a group of people along the way. David was a murderer and an adulterer, and God still used him. Rahab was a harlot. God still used her. You see the different things of grace coming in there, but there is a law that was given by Moses that you go by, but look, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now what did the prophet God tell us? And I'll read this quote next Sunday, where Brother Brown said, he said, I thought that Jehovah hated me and that Jesus loved me. Right? You know what he said? When I was studying the Bible, as he was a young Christian and studying the Bible, he was reading all them do's and don'ts in the Old Testament and how God would send a plague and kill 20,000 people. But he wasn't at the time looking at that God actually stopped those plagues by grace of Moses and the different ones that run through with the censer. But then he finally saw, remember he said, and then I read the New Testament, and there was just full of grace. Jesus just was right there with the sinners and the prostitutes, and he was saving the people, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. But he realized that they were the same person, they were just in two different dispensations. But it's all a dispensation of grace, but there was a dispensation of law, because the law had to come by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now look, this Romans 3 verse 24, you know, I made the statement a few minutes ago that grace is not for what you're going to do. That's Catholicism. Lord, I'm going to sin tomorrow. I need your forgiveness. I'm going to go to the priest and do, you know, four Hail Marys. And no, that's what I told you before. That's iniquity. That's a big difference. There's not any grace in iniquity because you knew better and you did it anyway, or you didn't do it and you should have done it. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch what Paul is trying to tell us. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. I really enjoyed Brother Mike bringing in hope versus faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to have a hope first, but that hope has to go into faith. If it's not, it's just hope. When God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, look, for the remission of sins that are past. You can't get forgiveness of sins you're going to do tomorrow. That's why you have to pray daily. That's why Paul says, I die daily. That's why that you should be in daily prayer asking God to forgive you of your sins, because it's not for sins. Lord, I'm going to sin next week 5 times and I can't help it. You're right. You can't help it. You're just saying you can't help it. But we go through life and we say, God, please forgive me for that. Because is anybody condemned about what they're going to do tomorrow? Think about it. It just brings a blank spot in your head. You don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. But you know you're going to sin. Every day. Amen? In our humanity. Not in your soul. If you're born again, it's in your humanity. You're going to sin, and you're going to go to God, and you're going to, then what's it going to do? It's going to bring your remembrance, what you did, and then you're going to ask God to forgive you. Let's read Romans 4 verse 15, and then we'll stop right there. It's 10:12. Musicians, get ready to come on. We'll stop a little early. We got some, good to see Brother Curtis and Sister Dorna and their family with us this morning. Romans 4 verse 15, because the law, look, the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. You got to believe that God will forgive you your sins before you can even get forgiveness. You got to believe that God will what? Wipe it out of His memory. See, that's grace. Every one of us have a past life. I don't care if you lived and chewed your teeth on the message pew. You still had a past life.
Right.
Amen? B.C. Before Christ. Amen? So, but then to get born again, though, you got to have grace. You got to have grace to get... Y'all come on in. Hey, come on. You're not going to bother me because we're getting ready. I want everybody to be seated when we get done. The Sunday school class is coming in from downstairs. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Look, to the end, the promise might be sure to all seed. Sure to all seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Let's read Romans 5:19. Musicians, come on. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Talking about Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, we have an out, but it's not greasy grace. It's by grace through faith. You have to believe that Jesus Christ took your sin. You have to believe that Jesus Christ extended grace to each and every one of us. Amen? So you just think on that and we'll continue on a little bit more next Sunday. God bless you.